Welcome everyone to the Sports Weekend. Obviously a bit of music from the usual difference we have on a Saturday, but I have to say, obviously Monday, the news of the great Stu Wilson, and we will be chatting a bit about Stu, and we'll also have a special segment next week. So it's a rather sad day, not only for the rugby public, but just for people generally in New Zealand, because he was such a wonderful fella. Just before I get on to our next guest, and a very special guest in Hamish Mackay, we'd just like to give a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. Now, one thing about Father Ted's, I can tell you, as the owner, Colin, was a very, very good mate of Stu Wilson, the late Stu Wilson. So they're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland CBD, opposite the iconic Civic Theatre. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on tap, a selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food, and music Wednesday night through to Saturday night. So make Father Ted's your location to go to. Their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, our usual guest is, he's on business in Asia, Mr. Whetton, but here to join us, the great man himself, Mr. Mackay. How are you, Hamish Mackay? Renowned commentator, renowned at everything, probably real estate as well too.
G'day, young fella.
Well,
you've got me all choked up. Yeah, the build up like that.
Yeah, well, this time you haven't left your damn phone at Bunnings this time, so it's good to have you on here.
I tell you what, the old phone at Bunnings trick, it gets you every time.
Oh, yeah, of course it does. Hey, great to have you on here, Hamish, and obviously we're going to speak about Stu in a few minutes, but we would, obviously, the big weekend in Super Rugby, Crusaders 21, the Blues 14. I have to say, Will Jordan, it's come back to form, but a big shift away from Blackadder, really putting his hand up for that vacant blindside flankers job. Blues at times had it, but really made bad mistakes. But big Patrick Tuipulotu had a big shift. Your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure there was much in it. I think that Rob Penny made, the scoreboard said there wasn't, clearly, and right to the death it required a gigantic defensive effort by the Red and Blacks, and Blackadder, but he was only one of many. I would say one of the better footy players this whole season has been Christian Leo Woolley. I think he's been outstanding. But I think there was when the Red and Blacks were down. We were down a man, and there was a bit of a point swing. But what a start by the Blues. But hey, they had an opportunity to put the foot on the throat and then put some weight behind it. They didn't. I'm pleased they finished the season on a high. The Crusaders go on to win this thing, and the Blues have lost to them in the dying, in the dying seconds. Then I think it's a pass mark for the season, and the fact that Vern Cotter was able to get these guys to perhaps dig deep into their intestinal fortitude bank and over the last couple of weeks, beat the Chiefs and then come within a hair's breadth of beating the Crusaders. I'm not sure I agree with you about Blackadder. Unfortunately, Blackadder is a master of too many positions, but not quite right for one. I've always thought he might be a contender for seven. But I think if you're watching that game last night, tonight will be where you'll see the All Black loose forwards come from. That's my opinion anyway. And as I say, Leo Woolley. But hey, how ballistic has the Super Rugby season been? Actually having mates and your colleagues and, a popular man like yourself, people will be stopping you in the street. Even when the Wars are going so well and there's other sports like Ryan Fox to talk about and Formula One, people are talking about rugby. Now, that's got to be good.
I think the season has been outstanding. And you know what? Yep. I think we look at it like we looked at that game last night. Now, many would say it probably wasn't free-flowing, but it was the intensity. You knew it was finals football, Hamish, and you knew straight away that either side could win that. I think the season's been great. I think one of the big things that has captivated the season so far has been that anyone can beat anyone on any given day.
Absolutely. and right through the competition. I mean, look at the number of times the Highlanders were within a sniff of a victory and couldn't quite get one. You had teams like the Western Force who were on their day, capable, but great, I think, too, to know that, you know, I mean, I grew up as a 70s and 80s kid, going, you know, whereby Manawatu were the national first division champions in 1980, go to New South Wales the next season to start the season and lose by 50. You know, it just goes to show, you know, how important that's the future. It's not all that palaver about going up into Asia and Japan and the US that we had under the previous regime of New Zealand rugby. I'm fine with Australia and New Zealand. It works for the NRL. No, rugby has been the winner.
I'd have to agree with you there. Hey, Hamish, we have a look at tonight's game, Chiefs versus the Brumbies. Now, to me, I think I cannot. The Brumbies had a good win last week, and they're an impressive side. You look at Big Valentini, you look at their backline, but I just see the Chiefs having just too much class for them tonight.
Yeah, look, it's such a strange one, isn't it? You know, it's almost like they took the rugby DNA of Greg and Larkham, Mortlock, Roth and co, Brett Robinson, George Smith, the list just goes on, Patricio Noriega, all these guys, doing McKenzie back and bottled it, and then they just inject it into the next generation, because the Brumbies are always, you know, they keep on keeping on. You know, they are British paints. They just keep on keeping on. And I'm not going to write them off, because last week I've been to Canberra where a very fine Crusaders side went there and got absolutely shellacked.
Yep.
It's probably one of the hardest places in the world to win at, and so they come with a great pedigree and a side that just does the basics so beautifully, but also has the ability to just carve up when it matters. So I'm not saying the Chiefs are home, but I wonder whether the Chiefs. Look, I haven't, to be fair, Chief, I haven't looked at the starting 15s, but I know Young Blackadder gets a lot of mentions, and that's a lot to do with being Toddy's boy, because he has that kind of media profile. I'm not sure about Luke Jacobson, but that man has shoulders of steel. He is granite. And I believe he's a guy that's had too few opportunities in the black jersey. And when he's out there, he is something special. And obviously, they've got Satisi back in the mix now, which helps, and Finau, and they've got, I think Parker's out injured. But, gee, their loose forward contingent is good. They've got plenty of props. They've got a spoilt for choice at prop. And across the board, and a halfback also, you know. I still think the Chiefs have, you know, they have to go, if they win tonight, they have to go to Christchurch, which they'll be filthy about. Because they would love to have hosted a final, and there was no better finals. I loved the finals when it was the Crude and Sonny Bill combination, when they were just devastating, you know, 10 or 12 years ago. I suppose it might even be a bit longer. But, yeah, it will be a close run thing, because the Brumbies just won't let the Chiefs get too far. You know, they'll stay in it, put it that way.
Okay, I'd have to agree with you there. Just while we're here, we might as well just talk about the loss of the great Stu Wilson. Really an extraordinary man, Hamish. Great humour. He was so different from the All Blacks of his era at the time in the 70s. He knew, he made people laugh. He entertained people on the rugby field, off the field, with his public speaking gigs. He worked with you at Radio Pacifica, the One Eye Rugby Show. Just some of your memories, Hamish.
Sorry, Chief, I just lost you briefly there. Am I back on board?
You're back on board. I'll just repeat what I just said.
Yep.
He was different from other All Blacks. He was, you know, different from what the All Blacks were in the 70s. He knew how to laugh at himself. He knew how to entertain people on and off the field. And just, he worked with you on the One Eye Rugby Show on Radio Pacifica in the day. Just some of your memories, Stu.
Stewie Sinclair Wilson. My first, you know, obviously you remembered him because, you know, I'm a Manawatu boy, and the Manawatu forwards would go down and they'd take on Wellington, but Bernie and Stu would carve up. I remember him on that. I think correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think it was that 77 series against the French at the end of the year.
Yep.
And there's that lovely sort of, you know, he's involved, I think, on a cutback try. But I think the next year on the Grand Slam tour, I think there's a length of the field intercept, and you had to like the way his hair flowed and his collar would be up and his button done up. And, you know, I just loved. He was an immense personality to be around. And to sit in that studio for a number of years, for 2 hours or so on a Saturday morning with him and the great Doug Golightly, was absolutely, how privileged, you know, how privileged was I to have had that experience. And he called a spade, but I remember there was a Fielding Yellows had a very successful year. The Fielding Yellows Club in the Manawatu, where I actually am today, in 1984, they won the big Hank and Shield here, and pretty big deal. And they had Stu as the after-dinner speaker. And that was the moment you went, oh, this man is pure genius and funnier than anything. And from a time where, man, they had to work for their supper, you know. I always have this thing, and I think about how much those guys gave up in terms of their career, you know, being away from jobs for months on end, for, you know, basically for a pittance. I have this thing today that the players of today should contribute to a fund, and every surviving All Black should have a little piece of the pie for what they gave us to create the brand that is now. And Stu Sinclair Wilson was paramount to the brand of the All Blacks of being adored on and off the field. Look, there's probably, you know, I can, you know, that, remember that the sort of the I love that one where he does that sort of grubber kick through, or the little, you know, follows it through and it bounces up into his hands.
I think, yeah, Keith Quinn said he's playing soccer with it. They try against Australia,
and you had to, I always laugh when Quinny comes out with a nice one. Stu Dennison being the boss, and Stu Wilson being the star winger. Here's the day he beat Ian Kirkpatrick's All Black try scoring record was 1983 against the Lions. It's a funny story. I played for Palmerston Old Boys High School against Tealti College, who were a monstrous team back in those days. We had lost by a point. I was in the front row. We pushed them over the line, and our number 8, the great Amosi Kololo, had knocked the ball on to deny us a possible victory. But anyway, we all showered, had a feed at Tealti, played the game early, and watched that test against the Lions, and Stu Wilson becoming the... So it's indelibly marked in my memory. Stewie was cool. Stewie was a cool dude, and he had time for everybody. And sometimes I just think that life could have dealt, you know, Stewie over the years. I think he's a classic example of an All Black and a person we should have put, you know, we should have probably looked after better.
I think you're right. You know, you look at Stu Wilson. He was in an exclusive club being an All Black, but when he met people, he was so inclusive.
Oh, geez, you just nailed it. That's beautiful. Yeah, I love it.
I've learned it from the best. Sean Summerfield taught me that.
Springers, eh? Did he? South Island, Canterbury's finest. Tell him to give me a call someday. I'd love to hear from him.
Yeah, he is trying to get hold of you. I try and get hold of him too, but I'll be talking to him later on, him and young Mr. Ackerman. Hamish,
give both of them my very best regards.
Yeah, well, we were almost going to call you up on your birthday, but we thought, we better not. I might get in trouble with a BSA, but I know that you wouldn't dob me in, but somebody would. Hey, Hamish, I've really enjoyed this. We've actually recorded, and don't worry, we're not worried about it. It's my image rights on the video, not yours, but they can hear your voice on your tribute to Stu. I'm going to put this up on Facebook. Chatting. Yeah. And I know that he was a good mate of yours, great mate of mine. You know, I think we just not only lost a great All Black, we lost a mate.
Yep. And can I just finally say one thing? Pick up the bloody phone, people. Pick up the phone, because I'm expecting, and I've had this conversation with Dougie, you know, we must catch up with Stu. Must give Stu, and if you don't do it, it's too late.
dead on. Hamish, thank you so much, and you have a great weekend, mate.
Cheers, fella.
And I look forward to seeing you in September, mate. I look forward to catching up with you in September. Catch you later. Bye. Hamish McKay, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Great guy. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll just play a bit of music, and next up we'll talk to our old mate Stephen Harris as we do the regional club rugby wrap.
He's got some what? Hobbs? Is he going to get there?
Here's to your garden, here's to your kids. I heard you were in the neighborhood. I've been a long time on the skids. And baby, I'm beside you. You run from the river when it long ran over you. This is for you standing up to a bone chilling wind. This is for the failures you collected from my sins. And this is for your lonesome tears I never dried. This is for you hanging in.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and a big shout out to, now, you know, I've been so disorganised this morning, I left my pad at home and everything, so I better get the sponsors thing out there, or else my friend Nick Brakovich will be giving me a very, very hard time. So, at Force Electrical, they are a team of experienced professionals dedicated to providing high quality electrical services for residential and commercial clients. With over 10 years experience, they pride themselves in being reliable and thorough, taking great care and ensuring that our clients' needs are met in a timely and efficient manner. So, give Force Electrical a call. Their number is 021-628-341, or you can email Nick at forceelectrical.co.nz. Wow, Stephen Harris, good morning to you. And obviously we're a bit later than we usually are, but it was quite a bit of emotion there just at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah, good morning, Amon. Good morning to your listeners. And, listen, what a wonderful tribute from Hamish McKay. And, of course, it put back a lot of memories of the old Radio Rugby show. I mean, Dungo, you'd go lightly and Stu, boy, they were three, they were like the three stooges together, weren't they? they certainly go through a lot.
As somebody just said, as I remember, what was it, my good mate, our old mate Brendan McNeice would say, those three got, he said, Golightly and Wilson, he said, they'd start a row in an empty house.
I'd love that. It's, oh, Brendan McNeish. God, that's a name. Is Brendan around?
Yes, I'll get a call from him. Well, you know, he's a hell of a good bloke, old Brendan. Hell of a good bloke. We better move on or else McNeish is going to try and extort money of me for using his name on the radio. And, hey, Brendan, if you're listening, have a good day. We start off in Northland. Kerikeri versus Hikarangi. Horror Horror versus Mid Northern. Western Sharks versus Carmo, and Ngāti Hene Moriwa United versus Wellsford Otamatea.
Yep, okay. I'll quickly go to Kerikeri versus Hikarangi. Kerikeri will bounce back at home after a loss last week to the Western Sharks. Horror Horror, unfortunately, will find Mid Northern far too much of a mountain, the only unbeaten team in Northern Club Rugby. Mid Northern, Carmo v Western Sharks. Just quickly looking at the table, Western Sharks sitting in third place. They want to keep themselves entrenched in that place. That is the game of the round, and it is indargable, so home ground advantage to the Sharks. They'll take that out. And in the final game, Ngāti Hene Moriwa United Kawakawa will want to bounce back against Wellsford Otamatea, and that's how it will go. They'll want to also try and stay in the four as well. Although they were upset last week by Old Boys Marist, 13-0. That was a massive upset, which kept OBM, who have got the bye this week, in second place.
Okay, so we then move on to North Harbour, and it's pretty... There's one key game there, but we'll start it off Silverdale versus Helensville and a bit of the bottom of the barrel with Derby. This one's a big one. Takapuna versus Northcote. ECB, East Coast Bays versus Cumu. And Maharangi versus Shorewell. I look at all these games, and that second game, that's the one that's going to be crucial.
Yeah, I think so. Takapuna last week, what an upset. And just sitting a couple of points behind North Shore, who were upset last week by Takapuna. I think Takapuna would be bored by that win. They've got a few super rugby players back. I think they'll be too strong for Northcote. And like you say, that very first game you mentioned, Silverdale, the Helensville, 7th versus 8th. I think I go just primarily the fact that it's being played at home in Silverdale. I'll go Silverdale.
Okay, and Takapuna Northcote, you're going to go Takapuna. ECB versus Cumu, I think ECB all the way on this one, Stephen. Yep. And Maharangi, they'll be hosting North Shore, but I think North Shore after last week will be pretty dirty.
Yeah, they will be. That would be an upset of epic proportions, very very similar to sort of Rangitoto College being beaten in round 152-0 by Westlake Boys, and then turning it around in round 7 and beating Westlake Boys 21-14. That's what that result would, if it's overturned, would be like. You'd almost wonder if there'd be an Indian bookmaker hanging around, mate.
But hang on.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think you better leave it at that too, yeah. Get me in trouble, God's sake.
Yeah, I know, sorry.
Yeah, you'll be paying the fine. No, it's all good, Stephen. Hey, Auckland Women's Premier, so we do the bottom four, Papatoa versus Silverdale, Paramahoe versus Northcote. And they're playing each other once, sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of got that wrong last week, didn't I? I think Paramahoe might have actually got tripped up by Papatoetoe last week. So, listen, they're playing at home. Paramahoe, I'll pick them to win. And Papatoetoe, with that impressive win last week, I think will be too strong for Silverdale. And
okay, then we go to the top four. College Rifles versus Manurewa. Ponsonby versus Marist.
Listen, I'm going to go both the home side in these particular games. I think both College Rifles and Ponsonby will be too strong at home.
Yeah. And then we go on to Auckland Men's, and believe me, there's crucial games. This is, we're back to normality. The world's biggest cup competition is over and done with. It's like the 2003 Cricket World Cup. It seems to have never stopped. Anyway, sorry, Auckland Rugby Union. I know you probably won't be giving me a dedication on my fifth thing, but I'll speak to Jared Beer. We'll have a chat, buy you coffee. Anyway, we kick it off. Marist versus Grammar Tech. This one is a real crucial one. Papatoa versus College Rifles. Rifles have a huge chance to get into that top six. And Ponsonby versus Suburbs, and we'll leave our two games to the end, our two clubs.
Marist, this is going to be a tough ask for Grammar Tech heading to Marist. But listen, Grammar Tech, as we know, rested during that long-winded competition you mentioned before, Grammar Tech. I think they've rested their side. I think they'll go to Marist and do the job.
Rifles versus Papatoa. I think you'd have to go Rifles all the way.
Yeah, sorry, Kevin Hickland on his birthday. Happy birthday, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, by the way, happy birthday, Kevin. Great to see you. Hope you all the best and happy returns, mate.
Yep, absolutely. Papatoetoe versus College Rifles. I think, who knows? Get down to the desperates a little bit there. I think probably Papatoetoe maybe cause a bit of an upset playing at home.
And, yep, I actually, I think that's a big call. And we'll do my club some favours, hopefully, and your club. Yep. Ponsonby versus Suburbs, you have to go Ponies all the way on this.
Yep, 100%, yep.
Okay, so we started off, we'll start it off with me, Pakaranga versus Eden. Tough ask for our guys, and I think, and it's, we've got a lot of players are coming back for this one. It's a tough one. It's a tough one for our club. I'm going to back them all the way. If we were playing the All Blacks, I'd back us against the All Blacks. I'm going for an Eden victory, but not by much. I think I know which way you're heading.
Yeah, I probably got to go the other way, and I'm only really basing that. Yep. I'm only really basing that on home advantage more than anything else. I haven't seen the team sheets for either side this morning, so there's a little bit of a guess. But it would not surprise me if your mob got up.
Oh, it would make things a lot easier. Waitemata versus University, you got them at home. I think this is a good chance for you guys to roll them.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Once again, I haven't seen the Waitemata lineup. I believe they've lost Riley Williams to Canterbury, so I'm not too. He's a real important component.
Very important,
I know
mate.
They rested. I know they rested a few players during that knockout competition as well. So hopefully they can bounce back. Unfortunately, mate, I think University are a good side and they will be too strong for Waitemata, but I'm hoping that I'm wrong.
Okay, so we go to Counties Manukau, and yes, it's this week's game, not a couple of weeks' game, so sorry for the faux pas. For all my friends out in the Counties Manukau area, sorry about that. But we kick it off, Pukekohe versus Ardmore Marist. We have Padamahoe versus Bombay. Bombay had an impressive win the other week. And Karaka versus Mangarewa. So probably the easier one would be Karaka versus Mangarewa.
Yeah, Karaka versus Manurewa, I think that's pretty much Karaka sitting top of the table. In fact, they're both on 41 points, and boy, their scoring is very similar as well. Karaka having scored 223 points, Padamahoe scored 203 points, so basically only 20 points the difference between these two teams on the actual on the ladder. But going back to today's games, I think Karaka, yeah, like you say, far too strong for Manurewa. Probably the easiest one to pick. Padamahoe versus Bombay. Bombay really needs to get some points out of this, even if it's a bonus point, because they're sitting on 20 points equal with Ardmore Marist. Ardmore Marist only ahead by four and against. Once again, there's only 9 points separating that four and against basically ratio at the moment. I think it's Padamahoe to get the victory, but I don't think it will be easy. And Pukekohe versus Ardmore Marist. Boy, game of the round. I think Pukekohe just on the basis that they're playing at home, but Ardmore Marist, like Walt Bay, need to get any sort of points out of this game, because that going into, I think there might be only one or two more rounds to go before they. Yep, there's only actual one round to go, and it's a real important round for both Bombay and Ardmore Marist.
Absolutely. Well, I think the Brad Pitt of Padamahoe will be very happy with your prediction picking them. So, hey, Budgie, if you listen, I hope you're having a good day, mate. Yeah, so just on that, it's been a hell of a week in rugby, and just to close things off before I go to Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League, obviously, tragedy of Stu Wilson, we just didn't have enough time to cover this with Hamish, but I'll be covering it later with Sam and Sean. One of the things is that not only Stu Wilson, but Mark Robinson stepping down at the end of the year, and there's likely to be some revelations coming with his relation, Mark Robinson and Ian Foster's relationship between CEO and coach when Ian Foster's book comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, just quickly on Stu Wilson. I think Hamish McKay's tribute just pretty much summed everything up about Stu Wilson. God, he was a sexy rugby player back in the day, and I say that with great. No, I'll just keep.
I'll get you that spade later, okay, mate?
I think he's every player we wanted. He's the All Black that we all wanted to be. God, he just looked so damn good on a rugby field, and even better that he could actually play the game. Just on Mark Robinson here, I think there'll be a lot to play out there. If we look back at his regime in terms of New Zealand rugby, you know, a couple of good things around in and around women's rugby, but boy, there's a lot of blunders in there as well. And
wow, yeah,
more will come out in that book.
I think more will come out. I think at the end of the day is, has Mark Robinson at the end of this tenure, after the end of the year, left New Zealand rugby in a better place? I actually say no. I actually think some of the decisions he made, not only with the decision around Ian Foster when he was in South Africa, you know, ready to sack him, claims that he was never there, he was just there to watch the test. The Silver Lake deal, it's been an absolute disaster. And, you know, like, you know, the promises which we were told with Silver Lake have proven nothing. Partnerships with Ineos, which we ended up getting a bit of a win. I just feel that we just need a new direction in New Zealand rugby, because we're rugby people and I love rugby, but our game is not as strong as it used to be. Participation numbers, you can spin it as much as you can. Politicians spin, and that's what they do at New Zealand rugby. As far as I'm concerned, is we really need to have a real deep look inside of what is happening to our game, because while we're not selling out Super Rugby games, and obviously the one in Christchurch will be sold out next week, but we're basically NPC, great brand of rugby, really not, you know, we're not getting crowds. There just seems to be the club rugby, they call it community rugby, I call it club rugby. There is such a disconnect between the perceived community rugby and the national body.
Listen, I call club rugby the lifeblood of the game, and it's one of those things that's just got the heart still pumping, if you know what I mean. Just one more thing on Robinson that was really disappointing was his relationships that went sour, not just with Australian rugby, but also the PUs, the provincial unions, and the Players Association. Wow, you know, if ever you needed some allies, you need all three of those on your side, because even Australian rugby is important, to us as we are to them. And basically, to have it, you know, if you look back at his legacy, there was a time there where even the Australians were thinking of pulling out of Super Rugby. I don't think it's going to happen now after last year, but also those cold relationships with the provincial unions, and I still think there's a lot of work still to be done in that space.
Do you know what, Stephen? You're dead on there, mate. And I have to say, always enjoy our chats on Saturday, even though it's you that's going to, which is going to need the spade to dig himself out of a few holes. Have a good weekend, mate.
Yeah, God bless, and hey, well done to Rob Penny, mate. I'll leave it at that.
Cheers, thank you, Stephen. Stephen Harris, wonderful. Okay, next up we speak to Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League.
You and I should be.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend here on Planet FM. A big shout out to Douglas Drainage. Every problem has a solution. All solutions have a cost. Minimise the cost of information and technology. Provided information with technology and research. And for all your drainage need, give Douglas Drainage a call. Their number is 027 483 8373. So, we might as well thank you very much, Ben. So, we go get into the Rugby League part of the show. Good morning, Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, mate. I tell you what, it's a cracker of a day for local rugby league, and I'm hoping it's going to be a cracker round of not only NRL, but hopefully my beloved Chiefs and that other rugby code get up against the Brumbies tonight too.
Do you know what? Next week, if it's the Crusaders Chiefs final, I think I'll just give Dwayne a call because I'm from that part of the world, you know. But we won't talk fever. Hey, only joking, Joey. Hey, just before we get on to the NRL games, big win by the Warriors last week. Very impressive.
Yeah, super impressive win in that second half last week. Going into half time, I thought it was going to be a bit more of a, I guess what we saw in that first half last week, in a bit of a grind, Cronulla just throwing everything they could at the Warriors, but not quite managing to crack through. And then going into that halftime break, the Warriors are sent to find another level and really blew away Cronulla last week. So a well-deserved bye weekend for them, and what a turnaround we've seen from Vegas. You know, like many pundits, you know, we didn't know what to expect after round one, and then they've turned around and only lost two games since that. And, you know, heading into the bye week, hoping that they were only going to, you know, lose at least one of those three games in between the Raiders, the Rabbitohs and Cronulla, and they won two of three. So great signs from the Warriors heading into a well-deserved weekend off.
Absolutely. And then when we then we go to the NRL games, the Thursday night game, the Sharks bounce back pretty quickly against the Dragons, 30 points to 18. Didn't have it all their own way. I have to say Damien Cook was very impressive for the Dragons, but Braden Nakora, just one of the most underrated second rowers in this competition, and the Nico Hines-Trindle combination, working well.
Yeah, I thought the Dragons actually played some really good football in that first half. You know, they kind of deserved to be on the scoreboard where they were, and then they just kind of decided to flick the switch to the off button and just kind of went to sleep. And when you let a side like Cronulla have a chance to go anywhere in a game of football, you know, it could have nearly happened to the Warriors last week, but the Warriors, being the classy side they are, you know, were able to withhold that. But the Dragons, you know, have shown in their inconsistencies that when they play some good football, they're a really good side. But then when they switch off, you know, they allow guys like Britton Neacorder, who you could probably guarantee if Britton Neacorder was an Australian, he'd probably be more highly touted as one of the better back rowers. He already is, but you can guarantee if he was born in either New South Wales or Queensland, he'd be playing State of Origin next Wednesday night.
I think you're right. I think he's one of the best. I mean, he's probably not one of the best second rowers in the world. So, yeah. Anyway, Friday's game. Titans 28, Sea Eagles 8, AJ Brimson. What a match.
Yeah, especially after last week. And the Titans really just needed to have a positive turnaround of some kind. If they had got the 2 points, you know, or not, you know, it would have been a good result for them had they just shown up and shown an improvement from last weekend. So credit to them for winning over a very good Manly side who realistically weren't missing a whole lot of guys. You know, they had Tommy Turbo back in their side who still looks like he's carrying a bit of a limp, but other than that, he's, you know, basically back to full strength. And DCE, I thought, would have had a bit more to play, obviously not being in that Queensland side to play next Wednesday. But AJ Brimson back at fullback, Jaden Campbell, and alongside the experienced Kieran Foran and the Haas, I thought, connected really well. Sam Beryl's in at hooker as well. Whilst he's not, I guess, a standout hooker like some others are, you know, he can do a very reliable job. And, it's no wonder why the Roosters, held on to him for so long. He's a very highly touted hooker. And if that spine can continue to connect whilst Keanu Kinney is out, then when he comes back in, it's going to be a positive headache for Des Basil to have then. We still always see some really positive signs from Gold Coast. They just need to find that consistency in their team.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we move on to the two Saturday games. Knights versus Roosters, Cowboys versus Dolphins. This first one, obviously the Roosters will have a few out with State of Origin, but, you know, the Knights, they keep on defying, Adam O'Brien keeps on defying, defying the guillotine, as we say. But this one, I think, this one's a tough one to call. I would suspect that you'd have to go for the Roosters, but you wouldn't go past the Knights.
Yeah, I suppose when you look at what the Knights side are putting up on paper this week, it seems as though all the odds are stacked against them. There's no Caelan Ponga because of Origin. Fletcher Sharp getting ruled out with injury throughout the week, so the writing's basically on the wall for them, as well as Jackson Hastings coming back into first grade for, you know, the first time this season. So all the odds are stacked against them. If Sam Walker had ended up returning tonight, then I would have backed the Roosters quite comfortably. But we've seen with the combination of Hugo Savala and Sandon Smith as well, they're actually improving a hell of a lot. And regardless of whether they've got Origin starts out or not, they've shown that they can be a quality side, this Roosters team. So I think they're still going to win. But I think the Knights are going to show a lot of grit tonight. Obviously, they've got a lot of their superstars out, and they've got a lot of nobodies that'll be playing. So it'll be great for a lot of the footy pundits to see, I guess, a lot of the new generation coming through. You know, and hopefully we'll see them around in rugby league for years to come. But Roosters to win somewhere between 6-12, I'm thinking tonight.
Okay, Cowboys versus the Dolphins in Townsville. Obviously, some losses for the Cowboys with Origin, but, you know, I look at this, I'm going to pick the Dolphins in this. They're not affected. Only the Hammers really out for State of Origin. And I just look at that halves pairing of Katoa and Nikorima. It's beginning to work. They're supplying good ball for Big Herbie Farmsworth. Sako probably playing yet again, leading point scorer in the NRL, probably playing another good season.
Yeah, and similar to, I guess, the Knights, the Cowboys are very depleted on their season as well. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how their stocks can front up without a lot of the Origin stars and injury as well. But I think with the Dolphins, obviously, like you said, they're realistically only missing the Hammer. Obviously, they've lost Tom Gilbert and Max Plass to injuries as well. But when you've got a halves combination combining, as well as Isaiah Katoa and Katie Nikorima have, you know, they could walk into any team and, you know, turn them into a winning side. So I think the Dolphins are going to win quite comfortably tonight.
Okay, so then we move on to the Rabbitohs versus the Bulldogs. And you know what, I think, despite with a few out with State of Origin, I just see the Bulldogs just being too good. And obviously Lachie Galvin is there, so there's a lot of pressure on him, but I think he is a good footballer, despite whether you agree or what he done with the West Tigers by going to the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I suppose that's the one thing that everyone should be able to agree on with Lachlan Galvin, is he's a heck of a talented footballer. I suppose to the flip side to that, I guess everyone else has to worry about, you know, what's the pressure of, you know, the noise around Toby Sexton not being too happy about getting shifted to nine and Reid Marnie being taken off as a result of that. So it's going to be, I guess, the repercussions of that and how we see that play out. If they're really true professionals, then I don't think it should have that much of an impact on how they play tomorrow night. But with the Rabbitohs, yeah, their forward pack's really starting to fire. I think Keon Kalua-Matangi shifting to the front row has probably been their best move of the season when they're missing someone like Cameron Murray as well. He's playing some superb football over the last 6 weeks, and even come tomorrow afternoon, I think he'll go to another level, because I'm thinking he'll want to do everything that he can. If the Blues go down on Wednesday night, he'll be knocking on the door of Laurie Daly and saying, hey, let's pick me for Origin Game 3. So could be a really great game, but I'm still thinking the Dogs will get up.
Absolutely. We move on to the Fox Premiership. What a competition this is ending out to be. So we have five games in the Fox Premiership this weekend. Otahuhu versus Richmond, Point Chevalier versus Mount Albert in a bit of a local derby, Te Aritu versus Manukau, Papakura versus Bay Roskill, and Ponsonby versus Marist Saints. That first one, Joey, I just see, after Richmond got beaten by Mount Albert quite handily, I cannot see them lifting for this game against a very hot running Otahuhu side.
Yeah, a very hot-handed Otahu side running around at the moment. Richmond have lost three of their key guys from last season as well. Two of them to season-ending injuries, and one of them unavailable this week due to other circumstances. And I think they'll just be three big important losses for the side. And Otahu really just running rampant at the moment. They seem to be the dominant side, and I really can't see a whole lot of teams stopping them. But we've seen in previous seasons, Otahu get to finals football, and they just can't quite seem to make it click. So if they can continue to make it click through the rest of the regular season, hopefully we can see that form carry on into August.
Absolutely. Point Shed versus Mount Albert. I'm come on you Lions, as I say, because I'm just down the road, but this one's a tough one. I'm going to back Point Shed in this one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to back the home side as well. As much as Mount Albert are probably one of the, I guess, like I said with Otahu, one of the hot-handed teams at the moment. They played really well against Richmond last week at Grey Lynn as well. But Point Shev is a heck of a hard place to go and play at. You know, they've got very passionate fans. And, you know, it's always a tough environment to go into as a player or as a referee as well. Point Shev have a really young side as well, filled with lots of talented juniors who no doubt will probably make their way into Warrior system soon. It's going to be really tough to call, and I think whoever's going to get up in this match, I think it's going to be close within at least 2 to 6 points, so probably the game of the round this week.
Okay, and of course, so that's that. Te Aritu versus Manukau. I'm going to pick a Te Aritu win. Papakura versus Bay Roskill. I think Papakura just too strong. Ponsonby versus Marist Saints. That one is a hard one to pick.
Yeah, and some really tough matchups to look at to round off the Fox Memorial competition. Te Aritu versus Manukau. Te Aritu have shown, like when they played Papakura a few weeks ago, that they look like this will have the ability to compete with the top side. But then Manukau, on the other hand, they beat Richmond a couple of weeks ago, and I think they're going to get another win again this afternoon. Papakura versus Bay Roskill. Bay Roskill are showing glimpses like they have across the last few seasons, but Papakura are looking, you know, very much similar to their grand final team last week. So I think they're going to be a team that'll go close towards the back end of the season as well. So I'm expecting them to take the 2 points. And Ponsonby versus Marist Saints. Ponsonby have a little bit more to play for this week, as one of their players after last weekend suffered a bit of a serious injury and probably, you know, is looking at never playing rugby league again. So I want to send our love out to Pupi Muller from the Ponsonby Ponies, and hopefully he can recover well. And I'm hoping that we see him back on the rugby league field soon, because he's a heck of a talented footballer. But Marist Saints went up against Te Aritu last week and got the 2 points. So I'm thinking we'll see Marist get up again, but I'm hoping to see a very passionate Ponsonby side turn up this afternoon.
Yep, and then we move the Shaman, so we'll just go through these quickly. Glenora versus Pakaranga, first win for Glenora next week. Just so, Northcote have won by default against Mount Albert. Mangere East versus Waitemata, Mangerewa versus Howick, and Hibiscus Coast versus the Otara Scorpions. That first game, I can see Glenora getting another win.
Yeah, I'd love to see Glenora get their first win, and it's probably
going to... No, it'll be their second win. It'll be they beat Mount Albert last week.
Yeah, so looking to get their second win, and hopefully we can see them start to rebuild their season. Not a whole lot of football left, so I think we might see Glenora get their second win this afternoon.
And Mangaree East versus Waitemata, I think it's pretty much one-way traffic. The boys from the Mad Butchers country, Mangaree East, will probably be too good. Mangerewa versus Howick, this one's interesting, but I'm going for the Rewa boys, Joey.
Yeah, this is going to be a really tough game to call. Mangerewa at home are quite a formidable side, although they lost to Northcote quite heavily the other week. Howick, you know, looking... a heck of a different shade compared to our previous teams that have been quite successful. So I think I'd still call Howick to get a win, but I don't think it's going to be one.
And Hibiscus Coast versus Otara Scorpions.
Yeah, definitely the game of the round for the Shaman Cup. Always a tough travel to go to Hibiscus Coast and try and get 2 points with the passionate fans they have up there too. But I know the Otara boys will want to get up for this one, and they typically always do every year. So I think we're going to see Otara win this afternoon, but it's going to be a game that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time. Have a great weekend, Joey, and we'll catch up next week.
Always a pleasure again, mate, and we'll chat again soon for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Crusaders versus Chiefs next week, and the other rugby code will be definitely, we may be enemies. Anyway, catch you later. That was Joey Green. Fantastic. Okay, next up, Zion Dale from One News. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Next up we've got my good mate Zion Dale. So this is a special message from our sponsors. Which weekend mission sorted, mate? Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the base station, keep the wife's tomatoes happy, all with a water smart tank. No water restrictions, no worries, different sizes to suit your property. So check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. Okay, well, we do the sporting week as we do in a very, coming in at the last minute because we had something arranged, but he desperately was there to help me out. My good friend Zion Dale from One News. How are you, Zion?
Good morning, mate. Always happy to help, always happy to chat sport with you. Call me anytime. It's all good.
Oh, good. That's going to wear thin very, very soon. For you, not for me. It will wear thin for you. Hey, I just want to start off with cricket. This pitch at Lord's, what an absolute dog of a pitch. But it looks like South Africa may win their first ICC Cricket World Trophy.
I was watching last night, and when Mitchell Starc and in the end Hazelwood were in there, I thought two quick wickets, and based on the other totals of the previous innings, I thought, geez, 220, 240 might be too much for the South Africans. I've woken up this morning and it's about 70-odd or just under 70 to win. Aidan Markram, fantastic innings there. I think it all sort of looked like it fell apart for the Aussies with Steve Smith also off the park with a dislocated finger, by the looks of it, but good on them. You know, I think you mentioned the fact about the pitch, and I think this is a bit of a pet peeve of mine when it comes to Test cricket. Unless the pitch is dangerous or got cracks running through it that provide a dangerous pitch, I don't tend to have a problem with how cricket pitches are made and how they're done. It comes down to the ability for me, and we've had 2 days there where the bowlers have gone crazy. What was it, 14 wickets and across, you know, in, in both days respectively. And then with the bat, I mean, Mitchell Stark, he's, I mean, you wouldn't call him a batsman, but he can bat. Has provided some runs for the Aussies, and it looks like the South Africans have put in a good fight there and will win this test match. So I think it's, you know, yes, you can put it down to the pitch and the lateral movement, I'd say, but it's been a great contest between bat and ball for me, ball so far, and now that it's drying out a bit, it's helped out the batsmen. So I think it's probably not been the test match everyone wanted, especially if you've travelled over there and watching it, but I still think it's been great and a lot of entertainment with all the wickets and the runs being scored now.
Absolutely. And of course, on to golf. Ryan Fox looks like he's made the cut for the US Open, tied for 40th at 5 over, not really one of his best days, but it looks like he might just sneak in there. Obviously, the last couple of weeks have been brilliant for old Fox. He's been Canadian Open win, and obviously, but with Ryan Fox, obviously, performing well at a major, he's going to get there. But I have to say, he's really come into quite a when he wins a tournament, he tends to have a good run for a while.
Yeah. Yep, he does. I was very fortunate, probably about a month ago now, maybe just less, I got to go watch him over at the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow, and that was after his Myrtle Beach Classic heroics. He's on an incredible run of form, and I think you look in the lead-up to both of these majors, he's only made it a few days before, or the weekend before. So I think regardless, to make the cut at a major, given the week and I guess all the golf that he's had to play, what was it, 22 holes on that final day is absolutely incredible. And I think experiences like these hold a lot of weight for him. It's a tough course. Gee, some of the big names look like they're going to miss the cut too. But yeah, what a couple of weeks he's had. And I think for me, it's coming down. He's shown coming down the stretch the temperament where, you know, a lot of guys can let the pressure get to them. But the temperament that he showed has been absolutely incredible to stay in the fight. And even when he looks down and out, he finds a way to pull a shot back and keep himself in it. So, you're totally right. I think hopefully after this US Open, given what's happened in the past few weeks, he can go on and continue that run on the tour.
Absolutely. Then we've had Super Rugby. Well, one finalist is found. The final's going to be in Christchurch. And, geez, the last time at that dreaded, horrible stadium. Believe me, that is. I used to go there as a kid to watch rugby league, and it was horrible then. It looked like it's got worse. I can't wait for Takaha to be built. But Crusaders, I think, were just too good, too clinical, too smart against the Blues side, who I think probably missed that opportunity. And a big one for the Chiefs tonight, too.
Yeah, I watched that game last night. Honestly, in those last few phases, I thought the Blues were going to rumble over. It came down to a loose ball that the Crusaders jumped on and kicked it out. Terrific game. Terrific game of rugby. And that's what you want a finals game to look like. I was on the edge of my seat for both. Actually, I was down in Hamilton last week for that Blues game, and yet again, watching on the couch last night. Yeah. Too clinical, the Crusaders, I think. They defended really well towards the end when they probably didn't score as many tries as they liked, probably bombed a few opportunities. But they definitely looked the better team. But credit to the Blues hanging in there. It's finals footy. I always say that, you know, anything can happen and you just need a switch in momentum. And they kept the scoreboard at bay after going 14-0 up to keep it at 14-all for a long time there. But in the end, just the pressure of the Crusaders up until that final few minutes where they defended their hearts out, got them over the line. Chiefs Brumbies today, I think it's going to be a Chiefs onslaught. Watch me say that and be completely wrong, but I think the Chiefs will be too strong for the Brumbies this evening. Chiefs Crusaders final, one last game at that stadium. Actually, when I lived in Christchurch, I used to go to that stadium quite a bit. It was quite a novelty being from Wellington and going down to Christchurch actually to watch a game, because you see the Crusaders dominance, but yes, that, speaking of wearing thin, that stadium, the scaffolding, I should say, did wear thin on me. So I think, look, if they can, they've had a lot of good memories there since they started playing there. So yeah. If they can win a championship, it'll be a nice way to bookend, I guess, their time there and go into that first game of the season next year at Takaha as champions. So, looking up down there for the Crusaders fans.
Well, it looks like the Super Round is going to go to Christchurch next year.
And deservedly so.
Yeah. And believe me, I'm also hearing that there could be a rumour that the Sevens could be making a return to New Zealand and heading to Christchurch. There's more to come on that. State of O, well, I'm going to have to say it. New South Wales, after this Wednesday, they're going to win the State of Origin. Congratulations to Kurt Capewell from the Warriors for being picked in the Queensland side, but I think the Blues too good.
Yeah, that's hard to hear being a Queensland supporter myself. I think there's a gap there for the Maroons. Billy Slater's changed it up. We've seen in the past when he's made some decisions that probably no one else would have, and they've paid off and worked. Maybe not in the last three games, but certainly when he was winning series. Mitchell Moses out, I think, is a big one for New South Wales. His kicking game really controls a game of football, and especially in State of Origin, when you pin Queensland back that far back and just keep defending them down there. I think he's a big exclusion for the Blues, but then I can't help but look in a great storyline with Jerome Luai coming in, and you've got that old Panthers band back together, and Cleary, Luai, and then you've got Isaiah Yeo, Liam Martin, Crichton, Brian To'o. I mean, you know, it's a memory now what they've done and for Penrith, and to see them back together, and if they can lead New South Wales to another win, it'd be an incredible story. But I think the interesting thing for me here is what's to come. Now, those Penrith guys, most of them, will have to travel from Perth to Auckland to play against the Warriors. So you think of backing up a tough Origin game, then flying the time difference over to Auckland in a shorter turnaround. Whether those top guys play in Auckland against the Warriors, I don't know. I suspect they would, given the season Penrith have had, but I think in past seasons they probably wouldn't. But it'll be interesting to see who backs up there for Penrith and Auckland only a few days after that Origin game.
Absolutely. And then we talk Club World Cup soccer. Auckland City FC versus Bayern Munich. I'm really happy for some of those young guys to get that opportunity, but I don't want to sound like a doomsday merchant, but I really fear for them in this competition, and I have to be honest, because in the past when they've had Club World Cups, they've been able to on loan a couple of experienced players. This hasn't been done. Paul Poser's back in Auckland. Poor old Ivan Vichelis has got to step up and take that. I wish them all the best, and I like guys like Ryan Devere. He's an absolute champion of bloke, but I just really fear for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just the nature of the competition, right? Any football team, whether you're amateur or professional, isn't going to say no to an opportunity like that. It's actually, when I went on the Auckland City website the other day to see, they have their next fixtures coming up, and I think it had Manurewa, Onehunga, Bayern Munich. And I thought, you know what I mean? It's honestly incredible. It's incredible that these guys get that opportunity. And yeah, look, I mean, I side with you. It's probably not going to be the result everyone's hoping for. I think it's probably close to a hiding. But, I mean, this is a position that Auckland City put themselves in. This is a position that FIFA have put Auckland in. And, you know, like I said before, whether you're an amateur team, you're a kids team, I think, you know, no one would say no to this opportunity. There's got to be a line drawn where these guys are going to be starstruck and seeing some of their heroes and guys they only see on TV. But they also need to draw a line of not over-respecting them and not being in awe of these guys. There's still a football game to be played. And in previous years when they've played opposition stronger than them, you expect a 10, you know, sort of over 6 goal rout, but it hasn't happened with Auckland City. Sure, they get beaten and they get beaten well, but it's not probably the scoreline everyone expected. But yeah, look, all the best to these guys. I think, you know, I've caught up with them. I've actually got a story running on Sunday about one of their players. It's a terrific story. It's just how football has developed on this side of the world, and it's how Oceania gets a ticket in, That's through an amateur side. So, you know, it's an incredible experience, and I will be watching it, you know, that day, and I'm sure they'll do Auckland proud. It's, you know, it's actually quite funny because they play Boca Juniors, massive club in Argentina, and I was speaking to the guy that's organising the tour group to go over. Boca Juniors have about 30,000 people going over. Auckland, 30.
That's amazing, isn't it? But I tell you what, those 30 will have a great time, mate.
I know. And I asked the other day, I said, look, you know, and I was planning on doing a live cross. And, you know, I want to celebrate this occasion. Sure, it's a bit beyond, it's beyond the result, you know, this game or, this tournament for Auckland. And I said, look, is anyone opening up the club rooms at 4 a.m. to come in and have a watch party? He's like, I don't think that everyone's coming over. I don't think there's anyone left with a key to open up. So that just shows, you know, what this means to the club and I guess just how small they are and going on to the world stage.
Anyway, we'll wrap it up there, Zion. Thank you for helping me out at this last moment, and we will catch up very, very soon, mate.
You're a good man, mate. Talk to you soon. Have
mate,
a good weekend.
Mate, after saying that, text me your bank account details. Cheers, Zion. Have a great
good weekend,
day.
Mate.
Cheers.
Goodbye.
Brilliant, isn't he? Absolutely brilliant. Good guy. Anyway, next up, Seamus Martin, we talk a bit of football.
The best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
You can run the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile.
You could be the hero. You can get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for you.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. Are you looking to buy? Are you looking to sell? Are you looking for advice on that Auckland property market to get on that property market? Well, give Robert Thompson from Barford and Thompson in the Epsom branch a call. Robert just losing my voice. Thought it was just about to go. Sorry, Rob. Robert has experience, business acumen, and has attention to detail. So give Robert a call. He's a great bloke. His number is 021-737-949, or you can email him r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. And joining us live from Field Days is the best farmer in Hamilton, Seamus Martin.
I'm with all of the other townies that have come into Field Days on a weekend. But hey, Robert Thompson will do a good job to get down here.
Oh yeah, well, I'll tell you what.
Some of these country folk up to the big smoke.
I was just thinking, like, you know, you go to Field Days, you get a pair of gumboots, and me and a mate of mine were having a debate. If someone like, say, the Hoss from ZB went down, he'd have Hugo Boss gumboots.
Well, I toyed with the idea of buying some gumboots myself, but I've just decided to roll in the traditional sneaker. So I'm a little bit out of place, but it's a wonderful day. If you get a chance, make sure you come down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It can be a very great day, and it can be a rather, boozy day. Anyway, I'm just going to say this, Darren, but we always just finished their internationals, 1-0 win over Ivory Coast, a 2-1 loss to Ukraine. Generally, Darren Bazley should be happy with the window, with this international window. Some real standouts that came out there. Obviously, you know, we look at the back, Finn Sermon, a real standout. Him and Michael Boxall are really going hammer and tong to partner Tyler Binder in the central defence. But Joe Bell probably played his best football I have seen him in a white jersey in a very long time. Reminded me what a good player he was when you and Des Buckingham had that side in 2019, the under-20s. Marco Stamina is good. And Max Crocombe, you know, at the moment, you know, many would say that Alex Paulson hasn't been given his chance, but Max Crocombe is just keeping him out.
Yeah, look, let's start with Max Crocombe. You know, Darren Bazley has shown faith here in sticking with what seems to be his preferred number one, and he delivered particularly against Ukraine with several world-class stops. He's got the confidence when he comes into the national team, and you're right. Like, you know, speaking of Alex Paulsen, it was confirmed this week he'll be returning back to AFC Bournemouth with Bill Foley's mob up there. So that's an interesting time for Alex. He needs to play regular football. But if we zoom out and we look at these two fixtures in this window, perfect sort of World Cup preparation for the All Whites and Darren Bazley, and having those good selection headaches to come up with. Finn Sermon and Tyler Bindon, in my mind, after those two matches, and particularly that win over Cote d'Ivoire, that's the preferred central defence pairing. But what does that mean for a guy like Nando Pinaka, who had such an outstanding season for Auckland FC, who now drops down to maybe number four in the pecking order, whereas in previous years he'd be a shoo-in? So great competition for places amongst the squad. You know, Chris Wood was used sparingly, so an opportunity to see Ben Wayne and Costa Barbarousis and those sorts of guys leading the line. So, look, good problems for Darren to have, and we're very close, I think, if my spies within the New Zealand Football Office tell me, I'm confirming some more matches in September, and maybe an opportunity to see the team here in New Zealand as well, which is great for the football fans.
Yep, this is the reports. On the 5th of September in Canberra, the All Whites will take on the Socceroos, and then on the 9th in Auckland, now they haven't confirmed the venue yet, that's on a Tuesday, the All Whites will take on the Socceroos, yet to be confirmed, and I hope I haven't got you in crap with New Zealand football, but that is what we are hearing.
No, look, that's what I'm hearing as well. I believe Go Media Stadium will be confirmed as the venue on that Tuesday night. But look, wonderful to have that Trans-Tasman rivalry back in action once again. We saw it a few years back, but hopefully that could be part of a longer-term calendar, or at least a biannual opportunity for these two old foes to come in and really lock horns. And good to see the Socceroos, our friends from across the ditch, qualify for that World Cup in this last window as well.
Okay, we move on to the Club World Cup. It's a big, and I was just speaking to Zion Dale, and I'm really excited for these guys at Auckland City FC, Auckland's, because it's just a great opportunity. It's a huge, you're on the world stage. Opportunities for some of them maybe to get professional contracts from here. There's part of me that is excited for them, and there's a part of me, Seamus, that really fears what's going to happen to them.
Yeah, look, it's mission impossible, isn't it? But I think you're right. If you reframe it that way as an opportunity for some of these individuals who aren't in professional football to put their best foot forward, well, there's no bigger stage and no bigger opportunity. You'd have to say, on the balance of the way the matches are going to play out, it'll be those players in the defensive third that will have an opportunity to stake their claim. And I think of a young guy like a Nathan Lobo, you know, a really promising left-back. We've got an absolute glut of left-backs at the moment. Francis DeVries, Libby Kakache, Dalton Wilkins, you know, James McGarry, the list goes on. So Lobo's got a lot of players up in front of him. But it's a chance for him to try and push into, you know, that sort of international window and that opportunity. For some others, like a Nico Boxall, younger brother of Michael, it's a chance to maybe get himself back into the professional window, the professional spotlight. I know he started a career outside of football recently, but maybe that's a chance for him to, you know, what about me? To put that hand up again. But look, I think we're all under no illusions in the football family that it's going to be a very, very, very difficult assignment for Auckland City in that Club World Cup. And they kick off their campaign against a small German club by the name of Bayern Munich.
Yeah, with a guy that, you know, might score the odd goal once in a while, called Harry Kane.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what an opportunity for Adam Mitchell and Nico Boxall and the likes to try and pocket Harry Kane, whose England side just came off an upset defeat, shall we say, against Senegal in the window as well. So, look, wonderful opportunities for all of our footballers on the global stage, the biggest stage of them all. And I do hope, regardless of the results, that people see it for what it is, which is an incredible experience for these young footballers.
Anyway, we go to Chatham Cup, and we're only doing, and Kate Shepherd Cup, we're only doing the Northern region, because if we went for all the games, we'd be here all day, and Seamus might be asked to leave field days for talking on the phone too much. So we're kicking off Northland versus Auckland United, Eastern Suburbs versus Tauranga, Hamilton Wanderers versus Manukau, and Western Springs versus Hibiscus Coast.
Well, let's talk about that first game, Northland versus Auckland United. Wonderful for Whangarei to welcome Auckland United, who will be the favourites on paper, and I think they'll come away and advance to the round of 16 for that one. It's an all-Northern League clash between Eastern Suburbs and Tauranga City. I think Eastern Suburbs will win that one at home. And not sure if this one dropped off your list, but Auckland City versus Waiheke United.
Now, we were told it was postponed.
I haven't got that memo. I've got that one's going ahead. So, look, we'll leave that one for now and talk about our friends from across the way, Hamilton Wanderers versus Manukau United. Well, these teams are running 1-2 in the NRFL Men's Championship. That, for me, looks like an absolute cracker on paper. And I think Hamilton Wanderers might nudge that by sheer virtue of being at home. And Western Springs versus Hibiscus Coast. Well, I think Springs on the turf at Seddon Fields will be too strong, although at the same stage last year, Hibiscus Coast, who are a division below, pulled off an upset against a little-known team by the name of Melville United, who were in the Northern League last year. So don't rule out the Coasters in the Cup.
And then we move on to the final three games, Fencibles versus Cambridge, Birkenhead versus West Coast Rangers, and a game that's going to be important for you, probably the match of the Northern Region Chatham Rounds, Melville United, your mob taking on Manurewa.
Well, I'll come to that game last, but firstly, let's go Birko versus West Coast Rangers. That's another all-Northern League clash. I think Birkenhead United win that one purely on form. They're top of the Northern League. West Coast Rangers have been a bit up and down in their form, but I think Birko will win that one. Fencibles versus Cambridge will be a very interesting match. These two teams last year were both in the NRFL Men's Championship. Fencibles got promoted, and I think Fencies are struggling a little bit in the Northern League, and Cambridge are flying in the Men's Championship. So here's one for you. I'm going to tip Cambridge, the Waikato club, to go through in that one as well. And then you move on to that Melville United versus Manurewa game under lights at Gower Park. I think Melville United, who we are unbeaten in 10 games, a good win on penalties in the last round against Auckland FC Reserves, who are around the same position as Manurewa in the Northern League, I think will be too strong for Rewa, who are fighting off relegation at the moment.
I would absolutely back Melville on this one. I think you guys would just be too good, and hopefully you have a good night afterwards. Hey, Kate Shepherd Cup, West Coast Rangers versus Lakes, Tauranga versus Auckland United, Eastern Suburbs versus Western Springs, Ellerslie versus Franklin.
Well, let's start with Ellerslie versus Franklin. Ellerslie win that one for me. Franklin are a good side in the NRFL Women's Championship, but I think Ellerslie will be too strong in that one. Eastern Suburbs versus Western Springs, that's a mouth-watering clash on paper, and purely by virtue of the home side, I've gone for Eastern Suburbs. You've got West Coast Rangers against Lakes FC, who are playing out of Rotorua. West Coast Rangers will be too strong, although they lost midweek in that top-of-the-table clash against Auckland United, and they lost in a big way, so they'll be wanting to get their campaign back on track. And speaking of Auckland United, they will be too strong in their away trip down to the Bay of Plenty against FC Tauranga Moana, who are winless so far in the league this season.
Absolutely. Well, Big Guy, I hope you enjoy the field days today, and we'll look forward to having a bit of a chat next week. And as we, you know, while there might not be any EPL, there might not be any A-League, we've still got the local stuff, which is important to the game here, and not only New Zealand, but in the Northern region here, and we can talk anything football. We might even talk about Seamus's stellar international career.
We might do it as a helicopter takes one of the VIPs out of Mystery Creek overhead. Look, wonderful, and I encourage anyone out there that's listening to get along exactly as you say. Support that local football. I'll be under lights at Gower Park in Hamilton for that Melbourne United versus Manurewa clash at 5 o'clock tonight. But if you are in and around, you got a local club, get down there and support. Put some money over the bar, and let's keep supporting the great game of football in New Zealand.
Absolutely, Seamus. Thank you so much.
Cheers, mate.
That's Seamus Martin. And next up, I'm just going to talk to, Storm Roach, Storm Purvis, about a bit of netball.
Tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above.
if you close your eyes. Does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? We were caught up and lost in all. Tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? Where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? Oh, oh, where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? Or how am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? If you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Well, unfortunately I haven't been able to raise Storm Purvis, so I'm going to try it for another, try and put on another song, and I apologise about this, and hopefully I can raise Storm on the other side. If not, I will do the netball segment myself and give you my opinion of the ANZ Netball Championship, and also we'll speak about world netball eligibility. So just give me a few moments and I'll try and get hold of Storm Purvis, because she's the expert, I'm not.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar, I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. South of the equator, navigator. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. A deep sea diving round the clock, bikini bottoms, lager toes. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath.
Two in the front, two in the back, sailing along, and we don't look back. Flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like someone. Riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like someone, 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 someone.
Okay, if everyone can just give me one more minute, we hope to have, looks like we may have Storm on the other side, so just everyone just be patient.
They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually, so if our time is running now, day after day, we'll make the mundane a masterpiece. Oh my, my, oh my, my love. I take one look at you, you're taking me out of the ordinary. I want you laying me down to a dead and buried. On the edge of your knife, staying drunk on your vibe. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we found something so wild.
Okay, everyone. Well, unfortunately, I've just received a text from Storm, really having some issues with her phone at the moment. So she has texted me, and I know that Storm, she's a damn good sort, and she is very, very helpful. So, hey, it's just the way it goes. So obviously we have another round in the ANZ Netball Premiership, and I can tell you this, it's actually, from what I've seen of it, it has been an exciting premiership. The Super Shot has proven to be a fantastic concept in the game. But when we look at it, we've had so many high scoring games, so a few blowouts, but at the moment the Mainland Mystics are leading this championship. So just looking at today's games, and of course we have a look on the 14th, which is today, and the game on TVNZ Plus, TV2, and on Sky Sports delay is the Northern Stars versus the Southern Steel. Now, this one is going to be a real close one. Both at the bottom end of the table, both not really wanting to be there. So, to me, I see this as a very, very close game. But I'm actually going to pick the home team in this, the Stars. When we look at, then we go to the Sunday, and we've got a Sunday game, and this one is a huge one at Wolfbrook Arena in Christchurch, just in Addington there. Now, the Mainland Tactics have been the trendsetters in this one. They've lost one, and like the Mystics have, but they're taking on the much vaunted Central Pulse, who have came in as the favourites on this. So at the end of the day, is we look at this Mainland Tactics side, and familiar names like Tapara, Selby, Ricketts. We also look at players like Jane Watson, Martina Salmon. They've been crucial to what has happened. And I should also mention Caroline Berger, who have been absolutely crucial to Donna Wilkinson's side. So I believe this one is a close one. The Central Pulse, they've really got a superstar lineup with Souness, Wormsley, the list goes on. Matty Gordon, Ione, Jackson. And when we look at the side they put together by Anna Andrews, they are a vaunted side. I'm going to pick a home team there. The Northern Mystics versus the Bay of Plenty Magic, a bit of a derby as well too. Well, I look at this Mystics side and if, you know, they've been champions, and the reason they're champions is because they have some of the best players in the league. And, you know, I look at Petra Tuiava, who has been an absolute revelation. We also look at some of the players that are there, and there's some great experience in there. This side is coached well by Tia Winkle-Kerry, saying she's done a fantastic job. The Magic, well, they've got the usual suspects in there, but you know what? I'm going to pick a Mystics win. Also, read an interesting article from Bridget Tunnicliffe from Radio New Zealand. Now, there was New Zealand Netball wants to change the eligibility law so that there isn't a stand-down period from players coming down from Tier 1 nations, such as New Zealand, Australia and England, and go into a tier two country, because they're doing this at the World Cup. Now, I've read it, and you know, I think good on you, New Zealand Netball. You're looking to do it, but you want to do it vice versa. So, to me, it's, you know, if Netball wants to be a world game, they have to reach out and let this and make exceptions to this law as far as New Zealand goes, and trying to then decide in that we'll pick the best of the Cook Islands, we'll pick the best of the Samoan players, Fijian players, or anyone that comes in here through citizenship or residency, then put them to us. I think it smells of double standards. And this is, I don't think it's good for the game. I don't think it's good for the game internationally. It's a real shame because, you know, we look at netball, where I am in an era where I grew up, netball was the top female winter sport in New Zealand. It's a real concern at the moment. I think Netball New Zealand has to sort this problem out, because at the moment they are behind sports like soccer. They're behind sports like cricket. They are behind sports like rugby union. They are behind sports like hockey, as attracting young women to play their game. So New Zealand Netball, you have to sort this out. Well, I apologise, everyone. I hope you haven't fallen asleep as I stuttered and my way through there. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. So hopefully, and I've just got a text back, actually. Hopefully we can have Storm on again and we won't have these issues again, and you won't have to be punished by talking to me. Well, next up, I'm going to actually have a chat to our panel, which is a really good one. Now, we've got not only the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield, but we've also got Sam Ackerman. So I'll just play a bit of music, and then we get to the other side. I apologise that I'm not the netball expert as them. I am no Storm Purvis, I'm no Lee Piper either, because they're superb netball experts. So I will just play a bit of music.
When I gave the word, now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own. I used to roll the dice, feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen as the crowd would sing. Now the old king's dead, long live the king. 1 minute I held the key, next the walls were closed on me, and I discovered that my castle stands upon pillars of sand, pillars of sand. To let me in, shattered windows and the sound of drums. People couldn't believe what I'd become. Revolutionaries wait for my head on a silver plate, just a puppet on a lonely string. Oh, who would ever wanna be king?
Wow, we're back on air, and I'm a bit earlier than usual with this panel. I thank you for both of them. On line one, not only one of the finest motorsports broadcasters, journalists that I know, but a fantastic sports broadcaster and a fantastic bloke, the old Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield. Good morning to you, young man.
G'day, brother. How are you?
Mate, I'm in a fantastic mood. And on line two, see, what he doesn't know about the Warriors and what he doesn't know about sports is, if there's anyone else apart from Sean and myself that would know more, is the young man, the kid, we call him the kid, Slamming Sam Ackerman.
Yeah, good morning. And I have a rule that I come on any show that refers to me as young. So I'm
Sammy.
Yeah, well, I had to, I had to bring these two back, and I think I had to give Sam a few weeks off after telling him the dreaded story about me. You were in a purple suit, so I do apologise. Hey, we're just going to start it off with you, Sean. Motorsport. Liam Lawson has just had his first practice run. Is an eighth in the practice, but there's also some big ones. Le Mans. There's just so much happening in the motorsport world.
Yeah, starting with F1, eighth fastest in practice one, and practice two finished a short time ago, and he was 10th quickest, ahead of Hadjer, and ahead of just behind Verstappen. So, staying really good in Montreal, Liam, which is great. And, you know, I think he's got his mojo back.
Yeah.
And, long may it continue. And I hope he stays in that Racing Bulls car. Don't go back. Just keep doing it. And, hopefully it's a case of adversity making him stronger. It'd be interesting to see Verstappen this weekend. Is he chastened after his outburst and his I mean, it's terrible moves against Russell, but those two, mate, there's niggle there. So if you're not a close motorsport fan, you want to see some good soap opera drama, Russell versus Verstappen. But, yeah, the big thing this weekend, speaking of F1, 19 former F1 drivers are competing in the Le Mans 24-hour race.
Wow.
It's an amazing event, and it's been going since 1923. This, I think, the winner will travel 2,500 k's further than the winner did back then. It shows how much faster the cars have got in that time. They travel over 5,000 kilometres in 24 hours. 93rd running of the race, we've got Brendan Hartley and Bill Bamber competing. Bam Bam's driving for Cadillac. He's qualified on the front row. Brendan's qualified a couple of rows back for Toyota. Brendan's won it three times. Earl's won it twice, once alongside Brendan in the Porsche, emulating what McLaren and Holm did back in 1966 for the Kiwis. It's just amazing. This event, what has taken, I don't know where to start with it. There's the passion of the fans. You've got more than 300,000 people at the race. There's a parade through the centre of Le Mans on the Friday. Then there's the madness of a pre-race grid. It's just jammed with teams, fans, sponsors. There are like 10,000 people, it seems, on the grid. Then you've got the speed of the cars, the relentless laps, the teamwork, the strategy. You need to look in front and behind because there's different grades of cars racing. It's not F1 where there's one type of car. Then they drive at night time when distance and is even harder to perceive, and the closing rates of different cars and the track itself. Then the anxiety of the Sunday morning, the sun's up, you've made it through the night, but you're still nowhere near the home straight. You've got more than a third of the race to go. And then there's the magic of, or the craziness of the last hour, then the magic of the victory lane with people, the winners who drive up towards the podium. Everyone's beyond tired, but still wide awake. You know, it's such an amazing event. And, the fact that Earl is racing with Jenson Button, that's his teammate in the car. How cool is that? So if you get a chance to, there's live streams to Le Mans, have a wee look at it. It's an amazing event. There's a lot of romance to it. And then this weekend as well, we've got Callum Hedge racing Indy next, which is in Illinois, the lead up to Le Mans, to the Indy series. And Shane Van Gisbergen's racing in what they call a road circuit in Mexico, so in NASCAR. So there's heaps going on with motorsport, and I'd love to see a Kiwi on the top of the podium again. New Zealand's, I think, in the top 10 for Le Mans wins of all the countries, which is just amazing.
We've got a great history with it, Sean. You know, we look back to the Chris Amon, Bruce McLaren, Denny Holm. You look back to the recent, like, the, as you said, Earl Bamber, Brendan Hartley. There is such a great history with Le Mans.
Yeah, and look, I was lucky enough to be there three times. And, you know, I think of sporting events that are amazing, that that first finals match, Sammy and the Warriors back in a couple of seasons back, was one of the coolest moments I've had watching sport in New Zealand. I remember Auckland Canterbury, the Shield game, and back in the early 80s at Lancaster Park. And then I got to see Collingwood and St Kilda play in MCG, amazing, but in the 8500, so I've been very lucky. But I think Le Mans is the single coolest sporting event I've been at. It is just amazing. The passion, the scope of it, the fact that they're racing on public roads. They have to do their practice at night time because in the daytime they become public roads again. It is just incredible. I just love that.
Just okay, next subject. Sadly, on Monday, we all were shocked with the news. Former All Black, great, and he was a great, and not only a great player, but just a great, great All Black off the field, and a terrific bloke, Stuart Sinclair Wilson, died aged 70, and of course, this afternoon, There'll be a few people saying goodbye to Stu and Tauranga, but I have to say, really, I've been in the pleasure of Stu Wilson's company several times, and I will say this, one of the, and I said it to our friend Hamish Mackay, he did say to both of you, would you both call him, and I know what you're going to say, because he's hard to get hold of too. But we actually had a great tribute. One of the things we all said about him was that, he was, for a guy that was in such an exclusive club, if you're in his company, you're inclusive to his company. Starting off with you, Sam.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was lucky enough to work with Stu at Radio Pacific back in the day when he was having he was on air with Hamish, in fact. And walk in, he's an All Black captain, a guy who's got who commands the space. Rocks up to me in the kitchen, introduces himself, asks who I am, what I'm doing, and he goes, "Now, what can I do to help you out with these young ladies around here, mate? Can I introduce you to a few?" I'm good, thank you, Stu. But belligerently, did not listen, and grabbed me and said, "This is my good mate Sam. Make sure you look after him. He's not just a good looking boy; he's very intelligent as well." So this is in my first couple of weeks in the job. Put it this way, he goes out of his way to make people happy. His entire life, Stu. He was always had a yarn. The thing with Stu as well, I think every yarn he ever had was always benefited by a little bit of GST. So you could probably add 15% of that story was made more entertaining for your benefit. And a character, and I think somebody broke the mold. I mean, this is the guy from an era where All Blacks were still kind of belligerent, didn't want to give away too much of their personality. We loved them for their playing ability, but Stu broke that mold. He was the guy who really knocked down the door for everyone you see on TV now is a former athlete using their personality on TV, whether it's the Sean Johnsons, the Joey Wheelers, whoever you want to say. Stu kicked down that door and got that ball rolling for them in broadcasting in this country. So a pioneer, an All Black who should not be underrated, and a bloke. You might have met All Blacks throughout your life, and you might say, which All Blacks did I meet? No one would have forgotten if they met Stu Wilson. He's that kind of bloke that would always have left a mark on you. So a sad loss, and my heart goes out to Hamish and all those who were close to him, because he was a special dude.
He certainly was. Sean, some of your memories.
Yeah, well, because I'm a little bit older, I got to, when I was discovering what rugby was, I got to see him and Bernie playing, and as a young Cantabrian, my first favourite player was Graham Murray. So I can't believe I'm saying that about Wellingtonian. But, and Bernie and Stu were magic. This bloke that used to blow kisses at Campese when they were getting ready to play the match. It was just, he was cheeky. And I think you're right, Sam, he was the first, and I think in the world, like he bought that cheekiness, and he was himself. And at the same time, for all this sort of being outspoken, he was humble. He was a clown, but he was never a joke. And he was always exciting on and off the field. And when he played, the way he created time and space, like the best players could do. And him and Bernie, what a pairing. I'm the first I knew about rugby being an amateur sport was when all the fuss happened when they wrote Ebony and Ivory and basically you were told you can't take money, so he just said, "Fine, I'll stop playing so I can take the money." And I thought, hang on, he's written a book. It's got nothing to do with the game. But he was, I think he was so far ahead of his time that we didn't get it at the time. But I was lucky enough to meet him a few times, and he always, and again, Sam hit it, he made you feel important. That's a real gift he had. And he always smiled. He joked he was a rubbish captain. But to play 85 games for the All Blacks back then, that's no mean feat, because they didn't play as much. And, I just think just magic. We have lost a special All Black. And the fact that he volunteered as an orderly to say thank you after being looked for with his heart, I think that just sums up who he is. And I just hope he's celebrated and gone far, far too soon.
I'd have to agree with both of you. You know, like as Sam just said, there was with Stu. He always had a story, and they were great stories, slightly embellished, just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. But Sam, you know, you look back at that, you know, you had Big Mish, Hamish McKay, you had Good Lightly, who, and of course, said you had hanging around was my our big Irish mate, Mr. McNeice. So you had a very, very good learning curve, didn't you, Sam?
Yeah, well, the problem is that there was safety concerns at the time because we didn't know we could fit that much ego in one room. It was very difficult because you can. We had many others coming in and out. Dobbo, Howard Dobson was in on those shows too. Quite a few other full mates. Willie Losey joined at one point too. So a lot of great broadcasters. Always a lot of fun when I think One Eyed Rugby Show became Sports Confidential, became other things, and it was all. Yeah, she was a great old time. And just the last thing on Stu, I think the thing that stands out for me, at a time when All Blacks, being an All Black was serious, right? There was no more serious thing you could do than be an All Black. He brought levity, he brought fun, and he was the first to do it that I can recall at the very least. So I think that he can be taken seriously, but not take himself too seriously, I think was an incredible trait to have.
Absolutely.
He did on, Sam, you know, we make, you know, Mark Ellis, what he did sort of in the late 90s, Stu actually did that back in the 70s. And I think we need to remember that because, yeah, the All Blacks, they were serious. There was no fun. He got the media, but he got it as a, he was just a normal bloke. He got what it meant to be an All Black. And, you know, and I think he bucked against the trend. I heard something, I think Phil Gifford mentioned that he was, Graham Murray was the one he looked up to the most, who was the sort of the opposite to Stu in a lot of ways. But they said something about Stu. He respected the old school side of it. But he was really the first to actually get the joy of it and what people got about it. And actually remember it was a game.
Absolutely, Sean. Absolutely. Well, we move on to Super Rugby. Well, Sean, you're going to be Saders. Crusaders win in a very, they really grounded out a good victory last night. Really, I'll say this right now, Sean, the sooner they get to Takaha, the better. That ground is horrible, mate.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kieran Reid was saying it's great now that all the scaffolding holding up the grandstands can be used to build some of the houses they need in Christchurch. But he said, we accepted this because we're told 4 years and it has been going on since. But, you know, look, I thought that game, the Crusaders seemed to play like a team getting ready for a final. There wasn't a lot of embeddedness to the way they played. It was a proper playoffs game. I think the Blues were bloody awesome. That was just an awesome game of footy. The niggle was amazing. And you saw rugby at its best. It was sport at its best because they're at each other and then afterwards shaking hands, getting on. That is what I love about the game at the top level. You know that both teams were giving absolutely everything to it, and the respect you saw at the end was everything good about an Auckland-Canterbury match. And, mate, if the Blues had taken that, I'd have been doffing my hat at them straight away because, you know, here's a team that have been written off for a long time. I love where they come from to get up there. I love the Crusaders defending that incredible home record they've got of playoffs, which is just must be one of the best in the world for any professional team. And it was just amazing. And it's funny, Ray Hunter, I keep thinking I'm looking at a young Dan Carter when he's lining up for a kick there. But it's just awesome. And I think well earned, but what a great, a Friday night match. That was, and I hate to say it, but it felt like Super Rugby was back.
I would have to agree. Sam, your thoughts on last night's game?
Oh, look, sorry, guys. I didn't manage to catch the match. I definitely didn't get excited in the first 10, 15, 20 minutes thinking or getting too cocky. Because I missed the match, I definitely didn't have that feeling of dread when the Crusaders started to reel them back in. And I definitely didn't scream at the TV for the last 5 minutes and get worked up to a point that I needed a cup of tea before I could head to bed at night. So I don't have much to add since I missed the game, clearly. Probably wasn't. Look, the end of the day, the team that deserved to win one, right? The team that deserved to win one. I don't think the Crusaders were amazing by any stretch. I think that the Blues, they were valiant, and a team that was supposed to be completely ridden off this year to pull themselves up by the bootstraps to take down the Chiefs and then push the Crusaders at home in a playoff to their limit is great. It's not the reason they lost, but the yellow card rulings with the head clashes are, for me, just absurd. All three. I don't think there was intention for that. I'm fine with the penalty, right? I'm absolutely fine to say if there's a head on head, then straight away it's a penalty. We're just gonna, that's the rule. And they are very clear that head on head is yellow cards as well, right? So it wasn't bad reads. I just don't like the ruling. I think it had such an impact. You can't tell me that the Blues couldn't have been in a better position had they had their contingent available at the key time. Like, seriously, the game went so long that the yellow card that should have been the end of the game was taken back out of play with the last couple of minutes. But you can't tell me that having Satutu out there during that period couldn't have been of benefit. Anyway, the right team won. The team that deserved to win showed their fortitude to repel 30-plus phases. You deserve it, but, yeah, I just...
Sam, the head knock thing too. The Blackadder went off for the HIA because his mouth guard signalled the G-forces, but they got the wrong player. There was a false read. You know, this... I mean, God, just nuts. It's a tough one. That I know they're trying to do the right thing, but that was just so bizarre. But what a grandstand finish! And as I said, I'd have had to doff my hat at the Blues there. But yeah, the head knock thing's interesting because and I thought that to be fair though, that when they look back and they kept it as a yellow card, that they did, that that's effectively saying it was accidental, not intentional. But the damage is done. You've lost that player for that time. And I don't know, Sam, we've all played sport. A head-on-head hurts everyone the same.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, just on that, guys, just the thoughts on tonight's game, Chiefs versus Brumbies. I know that the Chiefs come in as big favourites, but I'd be very wary of this Brumbies.
No, I'm going to chuck something at you guys. I said last week to someone, and I wish I'd said it on record here, Aiden.
Yeah.
I thought the Blues would be a banana skin, and they were.
Yep.
I just guess with the Chiefs, that cricket score they put up against Moana Pacifica, I want to chuck something out there. Then it felt like, did they peak too early? Or am I just chucking something out there that's completely wrong? But it felt like, did they peak too early and they're on the slide and the Brumbies could take this?
You know what? You're probably upsetting hundreds of thousands of a big listening audience in Hamilton at the moment. But you know what? I don't know what you think, Sam, but I just think this Brumby side, I just think we can't just rule these guys out. What's your thoughts, Sam?
No, we've talked about, and Sean said earlier, Super Rugby's back. And Super Rugby's back because the Aussies actually brought a bit of fire this year with their reduction of the Melbourne Rebels and the talent dispersion. And the Brumbies have been clearly the best side out of Australia. They are, they did a number on the Hurricanes, and the Hurricanes were, in my opinion, if anyone's going to be able to stop the Chiefs getting through, the Hurricanes have got the game to do it. Well, I didn't have the game to overcome the Brumbies again. I rate the Brumbies as an opponent. I think that I hold Clayton McMillan to too high a standard to expect another poor effort from the Chiefs. So I expect them to be able to get up and get the final that we want. And basically, my other thought pattern here is that I need the Crusaders to not win because I know too many Cantabs, like the wonderful gentleman on the line with us here, and they are insufferable if their team wins a trophy.
What are you trying to say? They're bad winners and bad losers?
Well, I thought they were really good losers. I really enjoyed watching them lose. But as far as being good winners, I just the insufferability was punishing. I, I worked in one of the great newsrooms of all time with Three News and News Hub, with the best sports department that I could ever hope to be with. But so many of the Cantabs, it's now inbuilt in me to desire to see them lose. I was fine until working in that newsroom. I used to just, you know, the team's a team. So I live in Tauranga, so I'll be backing the Chiefs all the way, there's no doubt. And the Brumbies can't beat the Crusaders at home in a final. The Chiefs can, so up the Chiefs.
Okay, good call. Just while you're there, Sab, we spoke a while back at the beginning of the season, and you mentioned about the Warriors. You said that you looked at all the facts and all the figures, and you said the Warriors will make top eight. Well, guess what? They're in top four, probably a very good chance to stay in there, but I think they definitely look like top eight. You were right, Sab. I was wrong. I didn't have a lot of hope. I know Short always is a big Warriors supporter.
Yeah, they're in a great place. They're in a really great place. I think the buy is good in the context that their bodies could probably have it, but I didn't want to see the momentum stop after that Sharks win. It was complete. And I know people go, oh, the points they scored. Yeah, but you know, it was through the unrelenting pressure they contested through all elements of the game. Their desperation on defence, even up by 20, that's the sign of a team that is switched on. They did that without Mitch Barnett against a very strong four-pack, including Adam Fanua-Blake, who barely fired a shot, and you know he had been fired up for that game. So to be able to contain that Sharkies pack and do that, also doing it out without Wade Egan, who I'd say is one of his... I'd put, if you ask me, who are the three, four, five top players the Warriors can't afford to lose for the season, Mitch Barnett and Wade Egan are in the top three. So they are so strong, and to be without those guys and to go as well as they have with all these young men, these young players adjusting into life in the NRL. Tim Sheens once said, and many coaches agree with this philosophy, that you're not a first grader until you played 50 games. There's very few of the young players within the Warriors context that have got themselves up to 50 games so far. So they're still learning their trade, and they are setting the world on fire for this Warriors side. So they're in a great spot, a really great spot. I think another three or four wins, and that's a top eight spot locked. Even if they lose the rest after that, that's how far ahead they are of the chasing pack right now. So it's a good time. Good time to be a Wilds fan.
Absolutely. Sean?
Oh, mate, I'm loving it. Even with the last game of winter that they lost, Sam, I just felt they just feel like a winning team. You're not getting
that was a great effort, Sean. And that's all. When you walk away from a ground, you just need to know they gave it a crack. Like, the Raiders are a hell of a team. They didn't just fold. They had a yarn. I'm with you entirely.
Yeah, and look, I go to the Warriors as a sports fan, which is wonderful because it's really hard to stop being a journo. And interesting has happened. I've got season tickets to the Blues, season tickets to the Warriors. The Blues have stopped covering the trains, and it's a nightmare to go to Eden Park. And my daughters have said, Dad, if we can just keep going to one thing, I want to go to the Warriors. So they've chosen that, and you know, I'll take that because I'm just loving going along. I'm loving the way they play. I'm loving the new stars coming through. It's just awesome. And the other thing I love, Sam, is any time you see a game when Sean Johnson's giving comment, I love his joy. And I remember a day, mate, and we talked about Stu and get back to that with Sean Johnson. I remember a day where he was out chatting to us. I think I was filling in for you at the Warriors doing some interviews. And he came out and he was chatting away to us, and then they sort of dragged him in, said, "Now you've got to come in because we're waiting to do the interviews." And he goes, "Oh, sorry, they're going to take me in and tell me what I think. And then I'll come and tell you it." I was like, whoa. And that was when you realised he was sort of on his way to need to go away from the team for a while. Yeah. And I thought, man, you know, you sometimes a player like that, you've got to let them be themselves and you get the best out of them. But I just thought about that with Stu because he was like that. And Sean Johnson's joy, and I think he's sharing with Australian audiences what we feel. I think it's just the best thing ever.
I just will say this in closing because I'm going to finish a bit early because it looks like my voice is just about to go, which is great for the listeners. They probably wish it started first thing in the morning. But just in closing, guys, Sean Johnson, a great personality, and it's just fantastic seeing him there supporting the Warriors. I want to thank you, Sam, for your time, making yourself available. Sean, as per usual, we've covered some good ground today, and we've also, you know, remembering the late great Stu Wilson, so I've really enjoyed this.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, yeah, guys.
Anytime I can share time with the Silver Fox, you know I'm down.
Oh, man, you're never going to live down that name, Sean, now.
you'll keep.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. See you later.
Cheers.
See you, mate.
That's us done for the day. Thank you very much.